Thank you all for coming to this wonderful community interoperability panel. How's everyone feeling this morning? Raise your hand if you're not feeling. Woo. Okay. No, I'm glad to see honesty. This is good. So I guess maybe to start off, how about you, all of us kind of introduce ourselves and the communities that we represent?
Sure. My name is Josh Weihart. I'm the Vice President of Marketing Business Development for Zcash, or actually for the Electric Coin Company, which is the inventor and supporter of Zcash.
My name is Jay Kwan, and I am the co-founder of Tendermint and the Cosmos Project. I don't represent the Cosmos Project, but I support it.
And Terry Culver, CEO of Ethereum Classic Labs.
So first question is a challenge question. Do we think that it's in the long run even possible to have enough multiple coin communities peacefully interoperating, or as the maximalists say, are we destined to be stuck in a Hobbesian war of all coins against all until one coin wins and we have one single global cryptocurrency?
So for me, I mean, I absolutely believe in crypto pluralism. I think different communities are gonna have different coins for different needs and that work in different contexts. So I don't believe in a winner takes all kind of model. But I do think that they can collaborate and work together.
I also agree. I think that one of the things that we don't see yet, but we'll probably see more in the future, are things like local currency coins or local municipal DAOs and so on. And every one of those, they may not all have their own chain, but you know, they will be their own community that is distinct from other communities. So this, I think that's just one example that shows that shows me that there will be many chains.
I agree. I don't think a winner-take-all future is really viable. You know, we all live our lives as parts of different communities already with different values. I don't see that changing in the blockchain and crypto space.
So one thing that I heard there is kind of talking about communities and values, right? And this is not a language that you normally hear people kind of use to talk about like currencies, right? Like you don't normally hear people saying, oh, I use US dollars because I support US dollar values, and I'm going to switch to euros because down with US imperialism, or I'm going to switch to like renminbi or yen or whatever other currency. Like, this is not something that happens right now. Right?
Yet.
And I mean, people don't even do this with stocks, right? Like, you don't even hear that much of people saying, you know, I love Apple, so I'm going to buy Apple stock. Like, it kind of happens, but like not too much. So, why do we expect this will change?
I think it actually is tribal, right? So we have our own currencies that work in our kind of own way in our different contexts. It's just that the tribalism historically maybe has been physical more maybe than digital, and so maybe that dynamic is what's changed.
I think we haven't had maybe the technology. And we still don't have the UX for a large number of people to use multiple coins and for there to be competition among coins and for like people in the United States to support one coin versus the other. Certainly the regulations don't allow it yet, but I think this will change as the industry matures and as it's adopted by the community despite what the powers that we might want. So, but I don't know when, hopefully within the next 3 years.
Okay. So I guess kind of turning things a bit, we can talk a bit about the technical collaboration, right? So our different communities have their own different blockchains that they're working on, but we also end up sharing a lot of tech, right? So for example, Ethereum and Ethereum Classic share a large portion of the tech stack, and Ethereum and Zcash is based on ZK Snarks, and Ethereum heavily employs ZK Snarks, and Cosmos shares a lot of cryptography. So do you think we're kind of doing a good enough job of kind of coordinating on how we improve the technologies that are shared between us? And if not, what are some things you think we can do better on?
I think we could do a much better job. I think, many blockchains are facing the same fundamental questions. And I think many of us are trying to reinvent the wheel. I think we can identify those questions and work on them together.
Mm-hmm. One of the things, I totally agree, and to add to that, I think one thing I learned along this journey is that if you can define a protocol of communication between two components of a tech stack, for example, or like if you consider tech stack for a blockchain, there are so many components, and if you can well define the protocol or the interface between these components, then like you can have different communities responsible for their flavor of implementation, and so you can have competition for a module or component, but ultimately all working towards a whole because it's pluggable. So I've experienced that once, and we're trying to also push for that in other regards, like with our consensus engine Tendermint, with the ABCI protocol, for example. But it's also obviously in Ethereum with the API and so on already exists as well.
I think it's helpful to be intentional, right, rather than passive. So passively, we can borrow technology and that kind of thing, but we can accelerate much more when we're intentional. So, you know, getting Blake 2 added to Assemble and work between Zcash and the Electric Coin Company, I think is hugely important for allowing interoperability in the future. So you can use Zcash within DeFi. That's unlocking some other things, some potential with work on Fly Client, potential integration with Cosmos, for example. But those interactions and those conversations don't happen passively. They happen generally when people are in the same room together and they're able to kind of sit down and think, and they're thinking about selfishly about their own project that they're working on. But the magic can happen and the collisions can happen when folks get in the room. Mm-hmm.
So if we suppose that, imagine a future where our communities are collaborating more, what are some kind of positive results that you could kind of imagine or hope to get out of that?
Well, Zcash being embedded in smart contracts, so you're able to in the places where you need that kind of privacy, that's there, to the extent that like things like ZK-SNARKs and some of the research that our cryptographers are doing, and being able to use that within Ethereum independent of Zcash, I think is super cool. So for me, those are a couple. But
I'd love to see a more intentional organization that brings various communities or representatives or people from various communities to start to have these conversations, like you mentioned. Ethereum is playing it for the crypto community to a large extent today. Maybe we can how do we reach out to all the projects? What is that association? So I'd love to see something like that.
I think Ethereum's like kind of set the standard for that, right? Of bringing all of kind of these disparate developers and projects and things like that together. It's been phenomenal. So it's kind of the bar that has been set, I think, for the community.
How is it that Ethereum is able to do this, whereas like other projects don't?
How is Ethereum able to do collaboration, whereas other projects don't?
Yeah, like how is it that Ethereum is better able to collaborate with disparate, like many projects?
I mean, part of it, I think, might be just the fact that Ethereum has had a kind of anti-maximalist ethos kind of from the start. Like, in the case of like Bitcoin, there's definitely more of this culture of like, this is the legit coin, or these are the legit coins, and if you're not a legit coin, then you're a scam. And I mean, the Ethereum community has its own opinions about what's a legit coin and what's a scam, but I feel like it's kind of broader and kind of broad enough to allow kind of collaboration among technically good projects to happen. So just like recognizing the legitimacy of different approaches is the first step to cooperating with different approaches.
I think the other thing would be cool is like if beyond kind of technology collaboration, we figured out how to do a better job of working on things like product market fit or things out in the field, where we're engaging together with the community to reach populations and to try to solve specific use cases, where we're not really doing that today. We kind of, or it doesn't feel like it, maybe. We're kind of coming together and we talk about this stuff and we engage technically, but when it comes to the kind of actual execution on the ground, there's a little bit less of that kind of collaboration.
I think greater collaboration speaks to the way in which blockchains have to grow. I mean, you know, we don't expect to get a corporate strategy plan that's costly and printed and everybody follows it. This is an iterative creative process for which there may not be any one single right answer. And so to do that, you need an increasingly diverse community with increasingly diverse ideas and debate. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. One question I have is, every time I fly, I feel guilty because of the carbon footprint. Mm-hmm. And the crypto community requires a lot of flying in order to meet. And yes, like you mentioned, being in the same place is what makes the magic happen. Mm-hmm. But I feel like for us to scale to a larger community, like at some point we're going to have to figure out how to make this work without flying. But I don't know how to do that.
Maybe the thing we would need is more kind of grassroots, kind of local level interoperability. Like, what should Ethereum Japan and Cosmos Japan be talking to each other more? Yeah, it's like if we're friends and we're already in Japan, shouldn't we be chatting? Or at least those of us who are in Japan. Same with Korea. Same with like Taiwan. Same with China. Same with anything. So regarding the kind of community aspects of interoperability, I guess. Well, actually, so one other question we have is, like, we talked about there's technology and there's a kind of collaboration because of shared technology, and there's also this idea that of different coins and different blockchain communities stand for different values and like ideologies. I guess maybe to start off, like, what are some of the key things that that you would describe each of your communities as standing for?
You want to start?
Well, I think Ethereum Classic was originally defined as a statement about governance. And it wasn't really technical at all. It's since taken on a technical agenda, and that'll become stronger over time. I think at the moment, and this is something that's evolving, right? I think at the moment, it feels very closely tied to the idea of immutability, even though that's not exclusive to Ethereum Classic, and the idea of security, so that you could foresee a chain that focuses more on maybe transaction finality and larger, fewer transactions than, you know, more smaller transactions.
So on Twitter yesterday, I think Bob Sommerwald described ETC as being ETH technology and BTC values. I mean, do you agree with that characterization? Do you think it's more complicated than that?
I mean, I understand the ETH technology part. I don't understand the values he's referring to. I would say it's different. I think the community itself is distinct. Mm-hmm. Characterized by that ability to move in a different direction around governance, and that's historical, and now trying to position the community in a way that enables it to collaborate. I think I would position us really as being in a place where we're looking to collaborate very strongly.
For Cosmos, maybe the key value is interoperability. We do other things too. Offering security in the consensus algorithm and making sure that the hub is permissionless, but the core product of the Cosmos Hub is about connecting to other blockchains and creating protocols for interoperability between blockchains. So interop. And sovereignty. So giving groups their own blockchains, communities, their own sovereignty, their own ability to dictate and decide what happens on that blockchain.
Yeah, for us, ultimately it's freedom. I mean, Zcash is classified as a privacy coin, but you can't have freedom without without privacy or the option to privacy to be able to protect what's yours. Like, I've been talking about, like, a friend of mine, Mo, who is a Syrian refugee. And Mo had a business, had bank accounts in Syria, family homes, and was forced to leave because he was protesting and the government locked down everything. So he no longer had self-sovereignty over his own money. And the government can see all of that stuff, right? They can see all of it because they control it and it's in their context and they have access to the bank accounts and all that kind of thing. So when he moved, he had to move to Jordan, he had to rebuild his life, and that's when he got into cryptocurrency. And he's like, I need to be able to protect my wealth. I need that freedom, and I need to be able to do it privately because I don't trust any of these kind of government entities to have access and visibility. And then the other thing is, like we talk, even it's a personal security, but it's also business security, and it's even national security. So we've seen the impact of data being used by a foreign actor in Russia trying to influence another foreign actor in the US based upon the manipulation of the population from data that they collected. And so it's a national security imperative that governments actually mandate some, you know, privacy for citizens. And so that's what that's kind of some of the core values that we have, I guess.
I see an interesting disparity between the answers here. Josh's answer is about kind of Zcash's values with respect to kind of concerns that people in the broader world would have, whereas your two answers were more about, like, these are the values that our blockchain expresses with respect to other blockchains or with respect to the blockchain space. So I guess, like, first of all, do either of you disagree with freedom and privacy?
No. I don't disagree with it. But I think each of these are nuanced, right?
Okay.
So privacy, for example, like, how do you... I think the thing that we don't know yet, and the thing that we should try to answer from an ethics point of view of designing, you know, answering the question of what should we design for, of course, we want to enable privacy, but if we enable complete privacy of transactions and account balances, how can that be abused in such a way that that may not be easy to abuse today? Mm-hmm. I think there's one argument to say that, for example, terrorist funding is more much easier with USD cash, for example. That's what they use. However, if you make the USD cash really easy to transport, then it just becomes that much easier as well to conduct private terrorist transactions. That's just one example, but
The internet, right? The internet made it easier for terrorism.
The internet made it easier for terrorism
because they could pass information along peer-to-peer, whatever, without any kind of central control. Mm-hmm. But there's no argument to kind of expose or make all of that visible. And the opposite is true. Like, we have now mandated basically HTTPS everywhere. Mm-hmm. We're fed up with all of these kind of honeypot databases where everybody's collecting individual social, you know, data that can be hacked by China or whatever third party. So it's not like any of these tools could be used for terrorism.
True. Though maybe, and I'm not disagreeing. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what the answer is. I'm exploring it. But, like, at least with sites, like, I can choose not to associate with this site, for example. But when you're talking about privacy preserving money, if I don't want to support a currency that is being used by terrorists, as an example, I feel like I wouldn't have a choice if we designed a system wrong. So yeah, I guess my point is we just need to be cognizant of how we design these systems so that we don't get locked into a system accidentally.
Terry, do you disagree with privacy and freedom?
Absolutely not. I think, you know, they're essential for the kind of economic independence that we're trying to build.
So, like, in cases where there's kind of different emphasized values, one thing that's sometimes worth kind of sorting out is it just a difference in priorities? So, like, for example, I might imagine that, like, Ethereum people are clearly not into privacy. I mean, we even have Tornado.cash now, but, like, when choosing between kind of universalizability and privacy, Ethereum is clearly going universal generalizability first, whereas Zcash is going privacy first. But like, there's not a big incompatibility. There doesn't seem to be a big incompatibility, because like, if you can have both eventually, then great. But other times you might have like values that are more incompatible with each other, right? So like, for example, in the case of Ethereum, well, we like proof of stake, and Ethereum Classic people like proof of work, and like, Ethereum people seem to like sharding more, and we feel like layer one scalability is important, whereas ETC people feel that the security trade-offs are too much for that. So, do you think there's kind of many in... So, one of the properties of kind of trade-offs that are kind of just differences in priorities is that if it's just a matter of differences in priorities, then in the long run, we might end up just kind of building the same thing. Like one person goes north first and then east, the other person goes east and then first and then north, but you still end up northeast. Do you think there's a possibility we'll just end up building the same thing in 10 years' time?
There's a possibility, but we're so diverse as people and so opinionated, I'm not sure how, from a governance perspective, how that happens. There may be some, like backstage we're talking about mergers or whatever, but there may be some of that kind of activity. But in some places it just makes sense, right? So some of the separation makes sense. So Zcash was a fork off of Bitcoin, because Bitcoin Core didn't want to add the cryptography on top of Bitcoin. It was too novel. They were worried about it, disrupting the network. And so this other coin was born. And this other coin, Zcash, then can explore, different kinds of applications and properties that they couldn't do on Bitcoin. So that's, I think, it's a healthy dynamic. And whether those two, like, ever come back together, I don't know. But there's value in the diversity, I think.
If they do come back together, do you think coin mergers are possible? Do you think they're a good idea?
I think it's super interesting, but for me, it's like this, like two jet planes, like trying to kind of come together in the middle and sort a whole bunch of stuff out. And so, I think when that happens, I think it will happen. I think it will be interesting as kind of an experiment in the space. I'm not quite sure the mechanics of how it would work, but.
I feel like maybe it's more likely to happen if they're working on different directions such that and they complement each other, then and if these projects had like governance or decision making legitimate decision making systems such that it's clear that they agree to do a coin merger, then I suppose.
And we're talking for clarity. We're talking about at layer one coins merging, not like two other, like two ERC-20 token.
I think it's quite likely that we don't end up in the same place at all. And I think that's because the values as expressed in technological choices will result in different usage. And I think over time what could happen is that certain coins and certain stacks are seen as the best for certain type use cases. And you go to one chain for one type of transaction, you go to another chain for a different type of transaction.
Do you think Zcash and Monero have different uses?
I don't think they have different uses. I think with both of them, the intent is for the coin, if I understand Monero correctly, to be used as a medium, ultimately as a medium of exchange, to not have broad-based kind of some programmability, but not like Turing complete programmability at layer one. I mean, I think the core kind of what we're trying to accomplish is really similar. And it's actually really interesting because like online or on Twitter, if you see Twitter, it looks very combative, like these two projects are just at each other, and that's not the reality. You have certain actors that kind of play that up, but like at ZCon 1, the last Zcash conference we had in Monero, I don't remember, the Monero conference was in Denver, but we had like a co-panel between the two projects, and so there's a lot that's that's actually shared.
Do you think the Zcash and Monero communities have different values?
I think some values are different, yes.
Such as?
I think that for example, some of the governance and how funding decisions are made, mm-hmm. and whether or not there's alignment of mm-hmm. Coin holders with developers. Mm-hmm. You know, the user grants program, right now Zcash is funded off-chain, and so the question is like how much is necessary to secure the network versus how much should be used to fund development? Is that the right kind of model? So Zcash community largely believes that that's the right kind of model. The incentives align between the coin holders and the developers, where Monero doesn't share that same
set of values. Like, one thing I've noticed as a kind of possible general trend is that developers are generally like seem to be more willing to be friendly with each other than kind of community members are. And one reason I feel this might be the case is that developers often do have kind of aligned interests, in that developers see each other as both just building cool stuff and they want to see cool stuff built. Whereas coin holders, like, if you're a Zcash coin holder, you want Zcash to succeed and you ain't got no Monero. And if you're a Monero coin holder, then like you want Monero to succeed. And like some people might have both, but lots of them, you know, ain't got no Zcash. And even in the Ethereum community, like some of the more maximalist push that we've seen is coming from people who aren't the developers. So are there risks that could happen if kind of developer communities are aligned but broader communities are not aligned?
Yeah, probably the developers will get outcast.
Mm.
I don't see how that's possible, though. I mean, at the end of the day, the developers are the ones building the chain.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the question is, what's the tolerance or elasticity of debate within a particular community? Mm-hmm. If the developers have a significant disagreement with the community, well, they can fork. Mm-hmm. If the community has a significant disagreement with the developers, they could buy a different coin. I'm not sure where that line is, and I think it varies depending on the issue.
Maybe it'll get easier for a community that disagrees with the developers to fork it and to create structure with DAOs, just like elect people, and then kind of, if you have the right DAO system, I feel like this new developer network might be able to evolve and mature.
Mm. How are you defining community? Who is it? Does it sound like it was like coin holders, developers, but is the community broader than coin holders and developers?
Oh, sure. Yeah. And hopefully in time it becomes even much broader to really users. But I think at the moment, at least in the debates we have, there's a kind of almost bilateral debate where, you know, there are folks who aren't developers and, you know, and then there are folks who are, and there's that interaction between the two.
So one other dynamic I've noticed is that I sometimes get the feeling that, like, strangely enough, collaboration may be more possible when ideologies are more incompatible. So like one example of this is that even if you look at kind of Ethereum and like Ethereum Classic in the long term, then in the long term, like, sharding gives much greater layer one throughput than not doing sharding. And proof of stake gives a different security model than proof of work. And there's people that are kind of diehard proof of work, people that are not going to do proof of stake, and sharding like legitimately makes security trade-offs compared to not doing sharding that some people don't want to accept. And so one kind of effect that comes out of this is that of both communities, this might even feel safer because we know that there's kind of one base that's going to use one thing and it's not willing to switch to the other thing because the trade-offs are just unacceptable. Like, it's not even like better or worse. It's just like what one side thinks is better is viewed from the perspective of the other side is making things worse. And so one side's going to stay over here, the other side's going to stay over here, and that actually like could make people feel like collaboration is possible because they're like, we know that there's no risk of one side fully eating the other side. Would you agree with that? Do you think it's more complicated?
No, I would agree with it. Certainly in the case of Ethereum Classic and Ethereum, you know, as Ethereum is moving to 2.0, we've taken the opportunity to, you know, reiterate our commitment to proof of work, and then start to figure out how we can complement each other in that space.
Maybe a corollary or takeaway is that if you take a community and you segment them into distinct ideologies, and you define sub-communities, maybe it can accelerate the growth of this project, if you can do it the right way.
I don't know, sometimes it's so ideologically misaligned that it just can't happen. Right, so if there was a nation state that wanted to create a digital currency with the intent of completely surveilling and manipulating their people, then that would be incongruent with our mission, and we just wouldn't do it. We just couldn't work together, independent of that.
Okay, so we know that cryptocurrencies are going to exist as a category, and fiat currencies are going to exist as a category, but will there be more than two coins? Okay, different fiats disagree, so there'll be multiple fiats, but are there, can we come up with more examples of kind of pairs of cryptocurrencies where it's kind of just obvious that one direction is different from the other direction and they'll both continue to exist?
I can't think of any others at the moment.
You can't?
No, I can't.
So any others between like Ethereum and Bitcoin?
Well, I mean, I guess at a macro level, but how much, you know, tangible cooperation is taking place?
There's cooperation taking place kind of implicitly even between Ethereum and Bitcoin. Like, we're using, in some case, the same SecP56K1 libraries. Mm-hmm.
You get such a thing with staking tokens if you need distinct validator sets, and especially for regional validator sets, but maybe you might have validators with different ideas of how to secure their system and so on. So for each of these staking sets, they would have their own staking token as well, but it's not clear to me what the market cap ratio would be between staking tokens and cryptocurrency cash tokens.
I could see the kind of privacy and generality trade-off as being kind of not 100% resolvable as well.
Privacy and generality.
Like, you could imagine general purpose privacy, but like there's trade-offs that you have to make there. Like, one example of this is that Zcash believes in kind of forcing everything to be private, whereas like, we're more of a hey we're a Lego box, like you do what you want.
Well, so Zcash is, it's an optionality, right? So you should have the option to be able to disclose or not disclose,
right?
You know, there's all kinds of arguments as to why you need openness, whether it's things like auditability or things that maybe can be solved with technology. But I don't know. Are there maximalists out there that believe that privacy shouldn't happen, that it should just be completely open system?
I was just visiting like Korea for a week, and I got at least five media people asking me questions of the form, like, don't you think privacy will enable criminals? So yeah, people definitely exist in the blockchain communities. I'm sure you're aware of your own coin being delisted from a couple of exchanges.
I am, largely because of misunderstandings and some banking concerns, but reputational risk.
Don't worry, I put up with a good fight for you guys there. So, actually, that brings up another point, which is there's, aside from kind of tech and applications, a third frontier of kind of possible collaboration is kind of outreach to the broader public, which could include regulators, it could include kind of getting public legitimacy in general. Do you think there's more that we could do on that side?
Yeah, I 100% believe there's more that we can do on that side. And in some cases, like I had referenced early to kind of the need to be out kind of in the community and some of the stuff, we're running some pilots where we're pulling in different projects together to collectively educate. Like the initial pilot we ran was in the South Bronx to collectively educate students and what we learned about the use of cryptocurrencies. The South Bronx is per capita the least unbanked population in the U.S. The reality is like once we got engaged there, all of us came away completely blown away by the insight of the students that we were kind of engaging with, and they flipped the script on us. But that was a project that, you know, brought together like Casa, who like doesn't support Zcash, for example. Gemini, Flexa, a number of Masari, a number of projects kind of came together on these kind of efforts. And I would love to be able to, you know, see more of that kind of active collaboration. One thing that was interesting in terms of regulators, and sometimes it's really difficult, is OKX. Like OKX had said that they were going to delist Zcash, and then yesterday I got a message from them saying we've decided to put this on hold, and we're putting this on hold while we do further investigation. It had to do with FATF travel rule requirements, but it was both Zcash and Dash. But we didn't collaborate. But we went in separately and had separate kinds of conversations. But I think it would have actually been, even though there's some ideological disagreement between Zcash and Dash, I think it would have been beneficial for us to kind of collectively game plan on how we work together to provide you know, additional information, new information to regulators so they can make better decisions.
One aspect of community outreach that some of us are exploring is, for example, working with people who are, or a community of people who are interested in like ethical software or how to make sure that we design for ethical systems. And I think broadly in general, maybe the question we should be asking, or I feel like the question that I should be asking is like, you know, what kind of monetary system should we be designing for the future? And I think that comes with so many questions and communities that have different opinions already about what to do there. So there's a need to reach out to those communities and not necessarily like indoctrinate them with blockchain, but like understand all these nuances so that we can better design our future.
Yeah, I think there's a lot more outreach we can do, and really in two ways. One, to the general public. I think there's still a lot of misconceptions in the general public about what blockchain is, what it can do, what people do with it. And the second is, you know, really engaging certain participants in the ecosystem who don't typically, you know, participate, say, in a forum like this. We spend a lot of time engaging with regulators, with exchanges, with custodians, because they actually can have a significant impact on the ability of the technology to see wider adoption. And there's a lot more education that I think needs to be done there about what the strengths and weaknesses of the technology are and what the roadmap is.
Just wanted to bring up a tangent. You know, so we have different ideologies, or communities representing different ideologies. I feel like what we, well, not just us, but the world needs to get better at is allowing these communities with opposing views to have discourse together.
Yeah.
And I haven't really seen good software or interfaces to allow this to happen, but it's like, wouldn't it be great if you can have a long-running discussion where the end result is like almost a conversation, but between representatives of two communities, such that then anyone from both sides can read and understand all the nuances? I feel like that would maybe help us transcend a lot of gridlock.
And at the end of the day, though, like, I'm sure there's limits on like what we will end up agreeing on, and that's good. Like, that's why multiple platforms exist. Yeah. So, you know, is there? If there is kind of one simple thing that we can start doing more of, just to kind of get the benefits of collaborating, reduce the harms of anti-collaborating over the next few months, at least like between our communities. Like, Is there any kind of one simple example of something we can do that pops out in your head?
So I'd like to see more kind of working groups. Again, like I think Ethereum in this kind of community is fantastic and welcoming and warm, and there's a kind of all this opportunity for collisions. But I think if we're more intentional, like for us in the Ethereum Foundation, for example, to be able to have regular times where the core, like cryptographers, developers, and engineers can come together, kind of work through ideas and plans, inviting other folks, like, you know, Matt was in here earlier from Thesis, or other people in the community, and kind of lay these kind of ideas out there, and then also look and collectively work on funding mechanisms to allow for some of these other kind of potential contributors that can provide some of the glue between between these communities. I think that would be great as well.
I guess one is enabling communities to have a voice in the likeness of what I just mentioned, like having discourse. So maybe there are other things that can happen by enabling a voice for a community. The other thing I ask myself often is we need to physically meet in order for this kind of dialogue to happen, but how do we scale it so that we don't necessarily have to travel? And if we can crack that, I feel like we would have a much more rapid iteration or rate of discovery.
I agree with that, and I would simply add, stop trying to debate complex topics on Twitter. Just stop.
Can we debate complex topics on Reddit?
I feel like it's better, but it's still centralized.
What about memo.cache?
Memos on cache?
It's like this thing where you just like dump comments on the Bitcoin Cache blockchain and it's okay because they have 32 megabytes or something.
That's great collaboration.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.